Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you know, is both a podcast and a blog where we talk about all things health and wellness related. We are on episode 63, just one more left in season one, which has just been an incredible experience. So this week's episode features Samantha Cutler of The Fit Fatale. She is a health and fitness blogger. She's also a Bodylicious trainer. She's a health coach. She's a brand ambassador. She's a public speaker, and she contributes to sweat.com. She's just an all-around amazing girl boss and full of so much positivity and so much inspiration. I've been following her for quite some time now, and it's just been amazing not only watching her grow and her brand grow, but just like tackle one thing after another. So we really jump into how she got into the wellness industry, some struggles she's had as a influencer, as a blogger. Actually pretty recently to our interview, she had an public issue, and we do discuss that in the episode. And I also want to note that this episode was actually recorded quite some time ago, since I was kind of preparing for my maternity leave, and I wanted to make sure I had enough episodes to cover throughout the end of the season. So if we reference, you know, a certain point in time, just know that it's because this was originally recorded in the spring before it was released. And with that being said, let's jump into today's episode with Samantha Cutler. Hi, everyone. And before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding. So you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event. And upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic. They don't test on animals. They are vegan. They use natural aromas. And they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge, And Gina actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically the purpose of the konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions, and it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies, but because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook, and again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18, and make sure the BYOK is capitalized, and Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Erica. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Would you mind just giving us a brief background about yourself?
Sure, no problem. Hey, guys. I am Samantha Cutler from the Fit Fatale. I am a health and fitness blogger, a Bodylicious trainer, a health coach in training, a brand ambassador, public speaker, and a contributor to the largest female fitness platform, which is sweat.com. So basically, I write for the Fit Fatale. You can also find me on Instagram sharing tips and tricks from the fitness and the health world, anything from nutrition to body image stories to skincare, lots and lots of spin class and fitness studios to go to. And then I try and incorporate a lot of travel in there as well. So where to kind of visit while you're on the go and kind of, you know, staying looking as good as you feel when you're at home while you're venturing out, whether it's for business or pleasure. So that kind of gets the gist of what I do. I don't know if that answers it.
It definitely does. So I think it's really interesting about our generation because, you know, we have the ability to become bloggers and influencers as full-time jobs. And obviously I didn't go to college thinking, oh, I want to be a blogger. So how did you end up where you are today, especially in the fitness industry?
Of course. That's a really hot topic, like you said. So many people are coming out with more and more unconventional jobs. It's definitely something I get asked all the time. So for me personally, I studied in fashion merch management. I actually went to FIT in New York at the Fashion Institute of Technology. And I came back and I ended up getting an amazing job for a huge national corporate company that's a retailer in Canada called Holt Renfrew. And so I worked for them for a while. And while I realized that I loved it, but I was giving so many crazy hours and I still needed to have something that was work. And I'm not sure if you experienced the same thing, and I'm sure many listeners did as well. When you come out of school, you're excited to do really, really well and succeed in your career, but it's kind of this weird back and forth where you're like, okay, but where's for me? And you kind of lack a passion that you used to have still for different things. As much as you can love your career and love what you're doing. So from that, I started blogging. And my first blog called Silver Lining by S. And it was essentially a finding happiness in the little daily. So it was not for monetary compensation, even for product. It was really a lot about like restaurants and cafes, and sometimes, you know, cool workout times, you know, just events that I went to. It was like you probably remember this, Erica, like the OG blogging days where we're like, I went to this event last night. Here's some pictures.
Oh, totally.
Totally. We all kind of like, you know, started in that world and ventured in that world. If we weren't doing fashion, that was kind of what it was. It's like, this is my day. And so it grew from that into, you know, starting to get a couple campaigns and starting to flourish into something that was like, hey, this could really be, I didn't really envision it yet as my full-time thing, but I was like, this could really be cool. You know, people are doing this in fashion. I don't really have a specific area. It's kind of my life, but, you know, let's go with it for now. So I did that while I was still working full-time for about, I would say almost 2 years or so, about a year and a half to 2 years. And so it was a kind of crazy. And as most bloggers know, starting out, or people in media that are working like two jobs, it's crazy. I was up at like 5 a.m. writing an article, posting it. And at the time, like if you weren't posting all the time, you were kind of losing traction. Now we have Instagram, so you can post your pictures, you can put your swipe up to your articles, and people are still driving traffic to your website. But then it was like people were visiting the websites and keeping up with content. And so I did that until last year, January 2017, so a little over a year ago. And eventually I kind of felt that I was making enough, as well as, you know, had saved enough and felt confident to leave my full-time job and take the venture to blogging full-time. And so I took the jump, and I knew that if I didn't take the jump, I wouldn't have enough time to make it successful to live off of. So it's kind of like a catch. If you don't leave, you won't have enough to make it that successful and enough drive and dedication and time. But then when you do leave, you're like, what if it doesn't work? And what if I don't have any money? And what if I can't pay my rent, and et cetera? So I made that leap and I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, let's run it like any other brand. Let's focus on branding. And what's my personal brand? Let's refine it. It's not just my life. I can't be a brand in business. One of the first things they'll tell you is never make your ideal customer you. It can be you technically, but refine that into what you want it to be. So I decided to venture into what is now the Fit Fatale, which was relaunched last July 2017. So we're coming up on a year in a couple months. And so I relaunched as the Fit Fatale, becoming all specific into health, fitness, wellness, nutrition, beauty, all things that make you feel and achieve your ultimate life, with still the underlying tone of, you know, finding what's happiness for you, but really through fitness and health, because that's sort of where I found it. So that's the growth progression.
That's quite a journey. And yeah. I mean, nowadays you're working with so many big brands like Lululemon and Tresemme and L'Oreal. Can you tell us a little bit about those partnerships and maybe, you know, some of your favorites and maybe some that have been a little bit challenging for you?
Totally. I mean, every campaign is so different. Anyone in that, in this world, and yourself included, really can understand that every client wants something different, and, you know, they've been so incredible. I'm so blessed to have worked with such amazing, amazing partners and so many people that, to be honest, even if you told me a couple of months ago, I would have been doing some of the campaigns that I've done most recently, or forget it, a year ago when I left, being like, this is what's in store for you, I would have never believed you. So I've been really fortunate. And I think refining my brand has been what's taken me there, because people or these brands in general will say, okay, we're looking for, you know, a fitness and health girl. We're looking for someone. And for those I didn't mention, I live in Montreal, Canada. So, you know, it's also a little bit different of a market, because it's, okay, who can we get that's in that market as well, that kind of touches globally, but then also can own a city. So those have been like really, really grounding factors for me. And then, yeah, like working with these amazing brands has been out of this world. I recently shot the campaign for the new Micromist from Tresemme, which is running, some of the ads are running on Instagram, some new ones are coming up, so you've got a little, I haven't posted it on my end yet, so you guys will see it soon, but that was like such an incredible moment for me. I remember arriving on set and there was like, you know, 20 people of crew and camera and hair and makeup and this and that. And I'm going, are these people here for me? Like, what's going on? So it's kind of like every step of the way is just very humble. And having people even care about what you do, whether it's a brand you're talking about or a product about, or the brand even caring enough to want to work with you is, you know, such a, like, a shocking moment every time. No matter how hard you work for it, it's still like, okay, cool, you know, it's happening. So that's yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so jealous. I actually remember when you were doing, I think it was the Tresemme one most recently, maybe like a month ago, and you were sharing the experience on your Instagram stories, and it was just so cool to see all the behind the scenes and like you said, getting your hair and makeup done and meeting, you know, the people behind the cameras, and that was very exciting.
Yeah, and it's changed so much in the industry now too. Even just from, like, you know, when I was just starting out, these things were so out of my reach, but we saw the bigger people doing it, and a lot of the times, you know, they're making it happen, and that is what we do too. Like, what my team does as well is, you know, we wake up, okay, we're gonna do shoot X, Y, and Z products this week. Let's wake up at 7 a.m. Hair is at 8, you know, makeup's at 9, blah blah blah. And I send the rollout to like whoever's there on that day, my assistant, my makeup and hair, you know, my photographer. So we'll coordinate it on our end. But when you are essentially, you know, brought into a situation where they just love you create and they love you and they want you to be essentially you and represent that, and you have a whole team that's put their time and their money and their effort into coordinating it to make it happen, it's crazy. It blows my mind.
It definitely sounds so exciting. So you mentioned your team. Who is your blogging influencer team that supports you on a day-to-day basis? Because I feel like a lot of people don't realize that being a blogger and being an influencer, it's so much work. It really is a full-time job. It's more than a full-time job because it's not just a 9-to-5. You're working, you know, whatever time the event is, or there's really no set schedule. So who do you have supporting you?
So that's a great question, because for a very long time, it was just myself. It's something that is so hard because, you know, you're representing, your brand is essentially yourself. And sometimes you kind of have to step back from that and look at it from, you know, like I've said, I have a marketing background and a branding background. So you have to put on that hat if you want something to grow further and kind of take yourself out of that. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is bringing others into the mix, because they're going to have opinions. They're going to see it as a brand and not as you, hopefully. So I recently have brought on I hired my assistant who is with me since last October. And that was probably one of the best things I ever did. And I've had tons of other girls that I know in the industry, or, you know, fitness influencer, blogger friends, et cetera, that are like, you have inspired me. I need an assistant. I got to get on that train. I guess it's maybe my background, like I said, in corporate, that allows me to realize, like, nothing gets done without having a team and without having people that can specialize and help in certain areas. So that was one of the first things that the second I had the means to do so, I wanted to make happen, because it's only brought bigger and better things. And then I have makeup artists that I work with, but really those are just on shoot days. And then my photographer, we just kind of coordinate. Usually I try and shoot at least once a week. We're blessed now that we all have iPhones, and I do have an amazing camera. So, you know, sometimes half the time I'm shooting, or my assistant's shooting, or, you know, my best friend, if she's the one traveling with me, or whatever that might be. But on a day-to-day, like when we put together a photo shoot, you know, it's it's a little mini production of the four of us. So
I love that. And you're so right. I feel like taking that, you know, jump to hire an assistant was probably super scary to have somebody, you know, under your payroll and someone you're, you know, kind of responsible for at that point. But it's definitely the only way to help your business grow, because you can't be, you know, answering every single email and, you know, 10 places at once.
100%. Like, your team is your strongest tool in any business. And the best way, like, I would rather not pay myself 10 times over and have those employees that are working for you, because they are fighting for your best interest. They're bringing more to the table. They're seeing more. They're on Instagram. They follow different people. They're seeing different things go on. You know, they care about stuff differently. They'll say, like, look, this product's really cool. Maybe let's look at this brand. Or did you see this new activewear, this cool workout? So having those people that are there that put their opinion, you know, if it's not something people are thinking about in business, it's definitely necessary. It's just how you expand, and they are your strongest assets.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. Now, kind of shifting gears just a little bit, being in the public as an influencer, I would imagine, you know, kind of opens you up to a lot of criticism and, you know, really makes you vulnerable because you're putting yourself out there like each and every day. So have you like come across any challenges, you know, as an influencer? And I can't remember. I remember you posted, I don't know if it was like a month or two ago, it was kind of recently, about a situation that you were in. And maybe, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay.
So totally. I mean, anytime you're going to put yourself out there in anything, you're going to get criticism. And it's one of the hardest pills to swallow, but you have to look at it from a constructive way and just hope that either it's constructive criticism or it's something that you can learn from personally. Even harder when the brand is yourself. You know, if someone tells you, if you go into work every day 9 to 5 and, you know, your boss says like, oh, I really didn't like this report you did. It's like, okay, amazing, great, like, or something happens with the company, let me make it better next time. When you're sending a brand, you know, images, or they're telling you they don't like how you look, or even people that are following you, you know, it becomes very personal when your brand is you, and it's about you. So it's so different than anything else, and that's why I was, like, just referencing back, that's why I was saying how important it is to separate yourself from the brand. And that's a personal decision I made. I don't post things that are personal beyond the walls of what my brand is. So it's fitness, it's health, it's nutrition, it's mental health. Those are kind of the walls I try and stick between, even when it's personal. You know, talking about my skin or talking about hormones or, you know, female challenges or mental health, those are totally still within what I do. And so that's just a personal boundary that I'll set. I try and keep other personal things like relationships, issues with anyone, you know, like family problems, whatever that is. And I know people, everyone sets their own boundaries. That's been one way that has really helped me with any criticism, because I know they don't, it's not, I'm not putting it out there. It's not part of what people can kind of like hold against you or go after you for. That being said, in health and fitness, it's very hard because a lot of it can be seen as very superficial. I don't do it for any of those reasons, but oftentimes people will look at things and say, it's about weight loss, it's about being pretty, it's about injections or this, or how much money you spend on getting your hair done. And it seems very much about, you know, sorry, my puppy's kind of crying in the background.
That's okay.
as per usual, she's always making noise. You know, and it seems like it can be very superficial, but you have to realize what you get yourself into. Your job is posting yourself in the best activewear or the newest thing that's whatever, that's the new Lululemon outfit or something, you're posting in a sports bra and people are going to have a comment, whether it's you look great or you look terrible. You know, they're open to saying that, and technically they are. It doesn't mean it's okay or they should, or you should sit there and smile and say thanks so much, but it is part of what you do. And I think it's something people need to realize when they aim to get into the public eye. And I'm like, you know, just a micro influencer who's trying to grow, where then you can't even imagine these huge people with hundreds and thousands of followers, or, you know, the Kardashians, which is everyone's reference. So it does become a little challenging. And like you were saying, I rarely will say anything about, you know, any issues. I'm not that person. I'm always extremely positive, whether it's, you know, a problem with a brand or someone says something to you. To me, I kind of let that stuff roll off my back. But there was an incident where there was someone who was speaking about, she was kind of knocking on people who post things on Instagram, claiming that they have, you know, certifications or that they're trainers or they're nutritionists or whatnot, just because they look good and they have a good body and they're posting stuff on Instagram being like, hey, do this workout because I have a great ass or whatever. She even referenced Jen Seltzer, I think is her name, who has like 8 million followers, right? The ass girl on Instagram. So she was kind of condemning some people that have grown in the industry, saying like, you know, it's just because you look good and that's not how you should source your information. That being said, I am a Bodylicious trainer, so it was definitely the wrong comment and the wrong people she was going after. But, you know, it's something that is a reality. People can say what they want and assume what they want. And that being said, I kind of made a comment back for the sole reasons of saying like, hey, if there are girls out there and they want to be posting, and I wasn't even referencing myself because I am certified in what I speak about, but if there are girls that want to post their recipes, they don't need to be nutritionists, or they want to say, hey guys, I did, you know, 30 squats last week and it really helped. Don't know if it helped anyone else, but this is what worked for me and I want to share that with you guys. We shouldn't be, you know, shutting people down for that. And it falls into any industry, not just health and fitness. It falls into, you know, like I said, you don't, if you post a recipe, you don't need to be a chef. You're okay. You can post a recipe. And I think, you know, sometimes people take it a little too seriously. It's really about kind of spreading what you love and what you do best and hoping that other people care about it and, you know, get something from it and build their own lives in a better way because of it. So you kind of have to take that criticism and roll with it a little.
I love how you worded that, because personally, my brand, the whole premise of Bring Your Own Kombucha is that I work 9 to 5. I'm an attorney. You know, I don't get to go to the prenatal workout classes that I want to go to at 10 a.m. or, you know, recipe build all day. Like, my premise is that I can still live a healthy lifestyle even though I'm not a yoga instructor or fitness instructor. But with that being said, I get my information from professionals like you who do the workouts, who see the results, who, you know, and other chefs who have these great recipes and have time to, you know, figure out what has the most organic and nutrient dense recipes and things like that. So I love how you said that. Like, you're right. Like, and if somebody's making their living doing what they love, then there's no need to hate on it at all.
Totally. And even if they're not making their living, even if they're just doing it and one day, you know, it was for their 100 friends and it caught on, and one day they have 100,000 and they still started just because they were sharing it with their friends, that's okay. You know, and that's what I think is a terrible message to send, especially to youth. And that's kind of why I spoke about it as well, because I work a lot with a lot of teens. They'll come to my class and a lot of them follow me. And so for me, that's really important to not let people see things like that and say like, oh, I shouldn't be voicing what I like or sharing what I like on social. you 100% should be being you. And if that can translate into something that other people register with, then all the better.
100%. I totally agree. So since we've talked a little bit about your experience as a blogger and influencer, I kind of want to shift gears and talk more about your fitness journey and I guess just like how I get your credentials and how you got here. And yeah, I just want to hear a little bit more about that.
Totally. So do you want to hear about like the classes and different stuff or?
Yeah. I mean, how did you go from working in the fashion industry to, you know, working in the fitness industry?
So when I first went to school, I've always been, and this is something that is a big part of it, fitness and sports and health has always been a huge part of my life. When I was younger, growing up, I remember one day being at the gym and someone making a comment about how like girls and I was with a girlfriend of mine. We were in grade 9. Like this is how long ago.
Oh my goodness.
And I remember someone making a comment, like talking to us at the gym, being like, "Oh, you guys are in grade 9. Like, what are you doing?" And we're like, "Oh, you know, we're like working out." And it wasn't really about looking good. It was just kind of fun, and we would go together. And it wasn't like obviously we didn't want to lose weight. We were just, you know, little teeny boppers, but it was really like a social thing. And it was just something I always cared about and loved. And, you know, as I grew up, obviously it became more about your body and your body changes and looking a certain way, feeling a certain way. And then kind of what we see as the norm of who we look up to and, you know, who we see in magazines. Now it's social, but at the time it was more, I was always addicted to like women's magazines, like Women's Health and Shape and all those ones. I preferred the articles, to be honest. I wasn't like the one carrying around my Vogue. I was always like, did you see the cool article on like this, you know, sunscreen? And so progression has kind of been natural since then. But that was always a big part of my life. And then when I moved to New York, it was the first time that I was alone. At school, on my own, cooking for myself, you know, making all those choices, and then add in the part of being in the fashion industry, being in New York City, where everyone is looks super fit and well put together all the time, and all those insecurities as someone who, I think I was 20 when I moved there, as someone who's that age, it's crazy. So it kind of got the best of me while I was there. I became very consumed with being thin, you know, eating low calorie. And I think it was just kind of like a wash over me. In the States, in Canada, we don't have like calories on the menus. We don't have, you know, low sugar. And it's funny because there's like a good way of doing it and a bad way of doing it. You know, you still want to know, okay, what's vegan and what's vegetarian for the people who have eating restrictions or allergies or gluten-free. But then it's not putting it out. I think at the time it was very like low sugar and low fat and that whole fad. So that kind of got the best of me. And I think I went through a period of negative, you know, association with health and fitness, more for the sense of being stick thin and looking a certain way in that world that I was living. And after that, I ended up returning to Montreal and working in the health industry, in the fashion industry. And a big part of what I think kind of helped me take me out of that negative association with body image while I was in New York was discovering Whole Foods. And it's so crazy. Like, I think, you know, I could talk about this for hours, but I used to go on the weekend and I would spend hours and hours in the grocery store and I would look at labels and I would look at what was healthy and cool packaging. I loved the packaging of everything, still do. And I would spend so long just like diving into that. And I started realizing like, okay, these ingredients are really good. You know, this is organic, this is certified. And I kind of like taught myself a little bit that pulled me out of that rut of thinking, okay, I need to stop, I need to, you know, stop eating fat and, you know, eat everything like sugar free, except really they're just putting more chemicals for flavoring and stuff. So I really pulled myself out and realized there was more to focus on in the realms of health and wellness. And then, like I said, came back, ended up working in the fashion industry, and then I kind of had no time for that. So I lost it a bit, and I realized I was not as happy as I had been when I was diving into that. And those things were making me really happy. And I was very curious and energized and wanting to know more information. And that's how Silver Lining started. And that's how health started to tie into it. And then I guess in the fitness world, I started working with a gym in Montreal. And as an ambassador, it was really just, hey, you have a really cool blog, you want to come and work out here and write about it, you know, that kind of fun stuff. And the gym I actually used to go to, it's right near my, where I grew up. So I had gone there when I was in New York. It's like a beautiful, beautiful gym called Victoria Park. And so when I was back at my parents', when I was in New York, and I would come back for the weekend, I would go there. So I was like, yeah, totally, I want to come. So I ended up doing that. And then they basically just didn't get rid of, they couldn't get rid of me. I loved it too much. So I stayed, and eventually the class that sort of brought me to Victoria Park, which is Bodylicious, the founder and creator of it, Drea Wheeler, asked me if I wanted to get certified and teach it. And she's like, you know, you've been coming two, sometimes three times a week for the past like year and a half. She said, would you be interested in, you know, in me certifying you and training you and you teaching the class? And at the time I was thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to ever teach a fitness class? Except I knew I loved it. So I was petrified, but I said yes. And I started teaching a year later, a year ago. So it was May last year, actually, when we reopened Vic Park and started doing all of our classes. And since then, it's been amazing. I always tell her, like, I still text Ray at the end of the day being like, every single day that I teach, when I write my favorite things from that day or like amazing things that happened to me, every single time I'm like, the girls in my class, teaching my class, you know, like it always ties back to that. And it just makes me so happy. So that's kind of how, you know, it transitioned from, you know, one story to the next and sharing that with others.
I love that. And I love that you found your passion and, you know, love doing what you do every day. You're so fortunate because I feel like so many people, you know, don't chase their dreams and don't follow their heart. And, you know, you really took a chance in doing this full time, and look at how successful and, more importantly, happy you are.
Yeah, thank you. It's so true. It's one of the hardest things ever is to take that leap and, you know, follow your heart. I love that you said that. And it's so important to trust your intuition. I wrote an article a little while ago on this, and it's still one of my favorites. Is instinct learns is what it's called. And it's essentially about how the more you follow your instinct and your intuition, the better it becomes. Because like anything, if you don't try and stand up, you'll never learn to walk. And you realize that, okay, when I do lean to this side, I end up falling over. So I think it's like anything else, you know, the more you practice your instinct and follow your intuition more and more, the stronger it knows the right way to take you. And it's something I really, really believe in. It won't always be right, you know, especially not the beginning when you're taking these risks. They're not always the right thing. But eventually, when you really get like a clear peace of mind and you can follow your calling and your happiness, you really realize like, okay, no, I tap into what's right. Even now when I meet people, like right away, I know if I want to work with them, if I'm going to want to work with their brand, you know, like just get, and sometimes it, like nothing's bad has even happened yet where I'm like, I just kind of feel like it's going to happen with this one. It's kind of, you know, I mean, that might be manifestation, but I'm usually relatively good at following it now. So I wish, if there's one thing I wish for more people, it'd be to kind of work on that and push that. And it's hard. It's not an easy thing. And I'm sure you know, you're off doing your own thing, working full time at the same time. So it's taking those leaps are not easy, but it's definitely rewarding.
Totally. Okay. And like, while we're on this story of, you know, manifesting your dreams and everything, do you have any book recommendations or podcast recommendations that, you know, inspire you, or maybe they're fitness related, or just something that you listen to on the daily?
So, okay, on the daily, I mean, this isn't really about manifestation, but one of my favorite podcasts is the Influencer Podcast by Julie Solomon. I don't know if you've ever heard it. She is so cool, and she interviews such incredible people that talk about their journeys to, you know, working with influencers, becoming influencers, creating brands. And I'm like a big entrepreneurial junkie. So for me, listening to people's success stories and hearing how they changed their careers or their lives is like one of my favorite things. So that's a big one that I love, love, love. I am currently reading Good to Great, which is also an amazing book. It's about how brands make the leap and really come to realization with changing a product that's good, but then how do some of those brands become, you know, great and break the barrier and make a difference and change and et cetera. So that's also a great read. I mean, there's so many. I'm a big like branding junkie. So anything that's in that realm is totally right up my alley.
No, same here. And I actually, I haven't been listening to the Influencer Podcast consistently, but I have listened to a couple. She actually just had like her 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to like binge it a little bit more, but that's definitely a good one.
Yeah, she's so good. She
knows her stuff.
Yeah, she knows her stuff. Another one that I'm kind of obsessed with right now, which is, I don't know if this what this falls under. It's kind of more, it's relationships, and I guess you could say manifesting relationships. But have you ever listened to We Met at Acme?
No.
Okay, so she's really cool. It's a podcast about dating and relationships, but she's very, if you follow her Instagram too, which I do, and I'm like totally addicted to it now, I can't stop. She posts polls. That's like her entire Insta story. So she's all polls, and they're all dating polls. So it'll be like, do you think that you would never call a guy back if he did this? Yes or no? And it's just like, that's all she posts all day. And then she interviews different people about their dating experience in New York and, you know, dating stories and meeting people and how to achieve your relationship goals. But it really has like a raw tone to it. And it's pretty cool. Like she's got something different than I've seen in a lot of people. So.
Oh, it's so interesting. We'll have to link to that in the show notes too, to share with everyone. Absolutely. So speaking of podcasts, I heard that you have your own podcast on the horizon. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'm so excited. So this is something that I've been working on for a little while now. I was trying to figure out the best route to take on doing it, but I'm so excited. It's finally ready and it's going to be launching. So it's the Fit Patel podcast, and it's called Thin Skin and Other Addictions. So ultimately, it is all about all those things that, you know, better people's lives and the entrepreneurs behind them. So it's people who have created businesses or work in the realm of all things that kind of better and help people and succeed. So it's anything from medical specialists, nutritionists, health gurus, fitness workouts, but it really has a tone of, like I've been saying, I'm kind of, you know, in love with the story and how they got there and the branding and et cetera. So it really has an entrepreneurial side to it, but all sticking within, you know, wellness and health. So
I love that. And when do you plan to launch it?
So it should be launching probably the second week of May. So in the next 2 weeks or so, yeah.
How exciting. And can everybody find it on iTunes or what's your platform?
I'm going to be posting it on iTunes. So you guys will be able to get it there when it is out. And all the details will be posted on my Instagram. And I also mean Instagram for the Fit Fatale podcast. Instagram as well. There's a couple, you know, quotes and different motivational things from the podcast that'll be there, along with any releases and when everything's coming out. So that'll have all the info.
Awesome. So what else do you have in store for 2018? I know we're, you know, on the brink of month 5, but do you have anything on the horizon or I don't know if anything you can share yet?
I mean, there's a couple of things that are going to be shared totally. By the time this is, or I'm not sure when it'll be up for everyone to listen to, but they might already be realization. I'm currently training and doing sort of other classes that'll be coming out soon. So that's a really exciting thing for me. As I said, I love giving the class. I'm very, very excited to be branching out beyond just Bodylicious. And you guys will hear about it as soon as it's ready and you can come to my classes. So that's one really exciting thing that is going to be great for the rest of 2018. And then beyond that, I have the podcast that's coming out now. There's something that's going to be coming probably more towards the fall, but I can't even dive too much into it because it's not just myself. It's a collaborative, but it's going to be really great as well. So sorry, that didn't give too much information.
No, that's totally okay. Totally get it. So where can everybody find you on social media and contact you?
So you guys can find the Fit Fatale on Instagram. My website is www.thefitfatale.com. So it is all the same, and you can always hit me up in the DM with any questions or shoot me an email. My email link is right there as well, and we're pretty great at getting back to everyone if there's any questions or queries, or you just want to say hey. I love it to hear from people. So
perfect. And okay, so I have one last question that I ask everybody who comes on my podcast, and that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ooh, can I say chlorophyll?
Of course.
The green one.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Do you have a favorite brand?
It's okay. The one that I love, I think, is Chlorophyll and Mint. It is by Rise Kombucha. They're a Montreal company. I don't know if you've tried it. I don't even know if they have it in the States. They have it like everywhere in Canada, and it is so good.
Oh, bummer. I don't think we have that in the States.
Okay. Well, I'm having you some. It's delicious.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Of course. You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Eric.